Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today, or maybe you're feeling a little shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. We can answer those questions over the air in coming weeks. Look us up online while you're there at hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. That's D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A without spaces. We're also on Facebook at Hawaiian Eye Center. Now, during the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. We're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination to figure out exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, last week we talked a little bit about sun damage in the eyes. Last week was Memorial Day weekend. And sure enough, true to the opening of summer, my family and I tried to go to the beach and, of course, wearing our ultraviolet blocking sunglasses and our sunscreen. But the parking around all of the beaches that we tried to go to was really challenging, because everyone else decided to go to the beach too. A nice weekend and Memorial Day, the official beginning of the summer season. So when you get out there and enjoy the summer season, wear your UV blocking sunglasses and plenty of sunscreen. I also want to make another kind of personal note. It was kind of fun last night. It doesn't have much to do about eyes, but I went to a cute show that's playing at the Hawaii Theater. It's a one-man show. It's a guy talking about basically the differences between men and women. It's a guy from the mainland. His name is Vinny, and I can't remember his last name. But he has some interesting perspectives and riffs on a number of stereotypes about men and women, and it's quite funny and amusing, and the audience was pretty much laughing throughout the show. So it's called something about the caveman, the memories from the caveman or something. I don't remember the exact name of it, but it's playing at the Hawaii Theater Saturday and Sunday, today and tomorrow, which I guess is the 30th and 31st of May. And so if you're interested, he's doing the two or three more shows here in Hawaii, and it was kind of fun. So if you enjoy comedy and the differences between men and women, it's something you may want to consider going to. All right, I wanted to talk a little bit today about some of the things that people say about the eyes. There's a bunch of what we might refer to as eye myths out there, and in the grand style of Mythbusters, we're going to talk about some of these eye myths and find out whether they're true, false, or maybe somewhere in between. And so there are a lot of them out there, and they actually bring to light some issues about eyes that are certainly worth talking about. So the first myth that I want to talk about is what your parents probably said to you when you were young and you were trying to be funny and making your eyes cross or turn your eyes in different directions. And a parent or a relative probably said to you, hey, Don't keep doing that. Your eyes will get stuck that way. So you're crossing your eyes. Your eyes were looking crossed. Were looking funny. You were, you know, experiencing double vision, but you were having fun because you're making people laugh. The other kids in the table were laughing. And your auntie said, hey, don't cross your eyes like that. They're going to stay that way. Is that true? Or is that possible? Or is that a myth? So good question. So crossing your eyes, if your eyes are normal, this basically means focusing your eyes, bringing your eyes together. So you're exercising the muscles in your eyes that draw the eyes inward. So the left eye and the right eye both being drawn inward results in the appearance of crossed eyes, the two eyes together. You can simulate this by looking at a pencil or at your finger or something and pulling it right close to your face so that your eyes are forced to come together inward. And so if you can do this same maneuver without looking at something, then you're able to cross your eyes. And the question is that going to do any harm, or are your eyes going to stay that way? And the answer is no. Your eyes will not be harmed and will not stay that way. Crossing your eyes is just like any other muscle movement. It's like saying, if I flex my arms and my bicep, will my arms stay flexed forever? No, the answer obviously is no. So the same thing with your eyes. The muscles that move the eyes are being flexed or being used to pull the eyes inward on both sides. So they look cross. They're not focusing together anymore, but there's nothing that would keep them staying that way. Now, there are some people whose eyes naturally are crossed like that. So one eye typically turns inward, and that gives the appearance of both eyes turning inward too much and the eyes being crossed. So what causes that? Well, typically that's a defect that occurs in childhood. And there are a few things that can cause it in childhood. Crossed eyes, or the medical term is esotropia. The broader term for any kind of misalignment of the eyes is strabismus. So esotropia is a form of strabismus, and esotropia and crossed eyes generally are used to mean the same things. They mean that one or both eyes are turning inward. Okay, so there can be a number of things that cause that. Abnormalities in the muscles that prevent the eyes from turning outward can cause the eyes to appear to turn inward. Abnormalities in development, that the eyes don't move properly as a child, can cause the eyes to appear to look inward. Or sometimes poor focus of the eyes can cause an inward turning of the eyes as well. When we focus our eyes to see up close, the reflex for close vision includes not only focusing our eyes to see better up close, but it also involves converging our eyes, bringing our eyes together to see something that's at closer range. If you're looking at something up close, your eyes need to move together inward in order to focus on that. If you're looking at something in the distance, your eyes have to be aligned more at their distance focal point. So looking at something up close causes the eyes to converge or move inward. If your eyes are poorly focused, such that you need to be focusing your eyes as if you're looking up close in order to see things clearly in the distance, sometimes that can cause that same convergence reflex, that same reflex that brings the eyes together when you go to read or look at something up close. That causes the eyes to come together when you're just looking anywhere, off in the distance or anywhere else, because in order to bring things into focus, you're having to focus your eyes. And that same reflex that allows for focusing of the eyes also allows for or creates a situation where the eyes turn inward. So babies who have high, what we call plus refractions, babies who need to focus or what's called accommodate their eyes in order to see up, see even in the distance, they have a strong reflex for the eyes to come together or converge as well. And so that focusing the eyes causes the eyes to converge or come together and gives the crossing of the eyes or the strabismus or the esotropia that is typical of young children whose eyes are crossed. And so if you have, so if your child's eyes are crossed and it's because of the focusing power, just putting glasses on them and having them look through the glasses is able to treat the problem, and then their eyes don't cross anymore because you're eliminating that need for focusing. And so if it's not focusing, then it's not going to need to converge or come together either. Okay, so that's something that can be treated just with glasses. Sometimes if the eyes are misaligned as a child or as an infant, the surgery needs to be done to realign them or to correct the position of the eyes. Okay, we're going to talk about more about some other eye myths in just a minute as soon as we get back from this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
Hi, I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora, Medical Director of the Hawaiian Eye Center. My colleague, Dr. Stephen Rhee, and I enjoy helping people see better.
Sometimes we're keeping people from seeing worse.
Patients ask me, how do I know if I have glaucoma? Unfortunately, you don't. Most glaucoma is only detected with a complete eye examination.
So, if you have cataract, glaucoma, diabetes, or just want new eyeglasses, call us today.
Find us online at HawaiianEye.com or call 733-2020. That spells C-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, welcome back, and this is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes, and we want to go ahead and continue to talk about some of the eye myths, which are things that people say about the eyes, which may or may not be true. And so here's another one. Carrots are good for your eyes. If you eat lots of carrots, your eyes will be healthy. If you eat lots of carrots, your night vision will be good. Vitamin A is good for the eyes. So this is a very, very common myth and or a very, very common eye we'll call it a myth. We don't know if it's a myth yet or not until we've proven it or disproven it. But the fact is that carrots contain a lot of beta carotene, which is a form of vitamin A. Vitamin A is necessary for healthy eyes, but not a lot of it. Most people, or pretty much everyone in this country, in the U.S., gets plenty of vitamin A in their diet from other sources, and plenty enough to keep the surface of the eye healthy, which is basically what vitamin A does. The surface of the eye requires a thin layer of moisture or tears, and if that tear film, that layer of moisture, is not complete or well suited to the surface of the eye, then the eye can dry out, and this can cause serious problems if it gets particularly or seriously dry. And vitamin A is essential in maintaining the surface health, the health of the surface of the eye. And without vitamin A, people get a very severe dry eye picture where their cornea, the clear window on the surface of the eye, can actually become opaque and cause loss of vision over time. So vitamin A is necessary for the health of the eyes, but taking more vitamin A is not going to make your vision any better. What we have learned over the years is that there are a number of antioxidant vitamins that seem to play a key role in the health of the eyes. Vitamin A is not really one of them. We haven't really found any major benefit of vitamin A in more than very mild doses. And so taking vitamin A supplements or eating a ton of carrots or whatever other way you want to do to get vitamin A is not necessarily going to make your eyes or your vision any better. We used to think that vitamin A or beta carotene was healthful or healthy for the retina, but recent studies have shown that vitamin supplements containing vitamin A don't really do any better, or actually don't quite even do as well in protecting the eye from retinal conditions like macular degeneration than formulations that don't contain vitamin A. And actually, vitamin A in smokers increases the risk for some smoking-associated issues like lung cancer. So taking vitamin A as a smoker is not recommended. Someone who smokes should not be taking extra supplements of vitamin A. What nutrients do seem to be healthful for the eyes are nutrients such as vitamin E, vitamin C, lutein and zeaxanthin, which are two nutrients which are found in green leafy vegetables and some yellow vegetables like squash. They're found in egg yolks. Some things that are colored yellow contain these yellow pigments like lutein. And these seem to be healthy for the inside of the eye. Vitamin E and vitamin C seem to have a slight protective effect against cataracts in the eyes, developing in the eyes. So eating a diet that contains fresh fruits and green leafy vegetables, such as especially dark green colored vegetables, such as spinach and kale and collard greens and I suppose bok choy and choy sum probably fall in that category as well. These green leafy vegetables contain nutrients which seem to have some benefit in the health of the eye, and particularly the retina, one of the parts of the eye that's most susceptible to damage over time, particularly sun damage or oxidative damage from sun or smoke or pollution, is the macula, the part of the eye responsible for the sharpest central vision. And we do have some evidence that taking supplements that contain vitamin C, E, zinc, and lutein seem to have some benefit in protecting the macula against certain types of age-related changes. So these vitamins may be healthful, but vitamin A itself is not really been proven to have any particular benefit to the eye, except that if you're deprived of it or if you're deficient in vitamin A, that can cause severe, serious eye problems. But there is pretty much no one that I know of here in the United States, unless they're eating a very unusual diet, who is deficient in vitamin A. So the myth of eating carrots makes your eyes better is maybe a little grain of truth, but mostly false. Mostly vitamin A is not anything that has ever been proven to have any special benefit to the eyes. So I'm not sure where that original theory came from, but recent studies over the past 10 years have suggested that vitamin A really doesn't play a significant role in the overall health of the eyes. Okay, so there's another myth. Carrots, good for the eyes? Maybe not. Here's another myth. Sitting too close to the TV is bad for your eyes. Is that true? Or is that exaggerated? Or is that false? Well, in reality, sitting too close to the TV is not harmful to the eyes per se. Now, if your kid, for example, is sitting too close to the TV, there's one of two reasons for that. Either they want to be stimulated more. The closer you are to the TV, the brighter the lights are, the bigger the explosions, the greater the colors. And so young children like to be stimulated. So the more light and color and sound that they can get into their senses, the happier they are. So the closer they sit to the TV, the more of the stuff that they get. So that's one reason that kids sit close to the TV, because they just want to be stimulated at a higher level. The other reason that kids sit too close to the TV is that the vision is blurry when they're sitting back from the TV. And so if that's the case, then that means probably that they need glasses for distance vision. And if they're having trouble seeing the TV from a distance, then they may also be having trouble in school, seeing what the teacher writes on the board, for example. And so that could be an issue as well. So you want to make sure that if your child is sitting too close to the TV, that you do have them get an eye checkup, an eye examination, to make sure that their eyes are not nearsighted or some other reason that they're not able to see the TV clearly. So they're trying to sit up close so that they can get a magnified image and see it a little bit better. So sitting close to the TV by itself does not harm your eyes, but it can be a sign of something that is affecting the eyes. So kids that sit consistently too close to the TV should probably have an eye examination just to be sure everything's okay. You can encourage them to sit back just because you don't like to see them sitting so close, but there's no evidence that it actually does any harm to the eyes. Now, the one thing that I do wonder a little bit about, and we don't really have any studies that have looked at this that I'm aware of, but the one thing I'd be a little concerned about is that there is ultraviolet light and other types of light radiation coming off of the TV screen just from the nature of how a TV screen or a computer screen for that matter works. The radiation, sometimes ultraviolet, sometimes other forms of radiation can theoretically cause damage to eyes or other types of structures. So there is that remote possibility that sitting too close to a TV, if you're really too close, could expose your eyes to a greater amount of ultraviolet or other radiation, x-rays, I don't know, something, some other kinds of radiation. I don't think there's x-rays from TVs. I think it's mostly ultraviolet. And so that, that can harm the eyes. And so I don't really know much about that and whether that there's any validity to that or not, but it's something that you kind of wonder about. So, I would probably encourage the kids to sit further back from the TV because when they become young adults, they can't be sitting on the floor 2 feet from the front of the TV. They have to be sitting on the couch and or the chair and looking at the TV from a distance. So you train the habits young. But as far as harm to the eyes, probably not. So that sitting too close to the TV is going to harm your eyes turns out to be a myth. Doesn't look like it's any harm to the eyes, but it might be a reason to get your kids in to check up on their eyes to make sure that they don't have a problem like nearsightedness or astigmatism that's causing distortion of their vision that makes them want to sit closer so that they can see the image better. So how do we test kids? How do we test everyone when they come in the office to see how whether their eyes need to be focused better, whether they need glasses? Well, typically what we do is start out by having you read an eye chart. In very little kids, it might be some pictures that we ask them to identify or some tumbling E's, letter E, which points in different directions so that we ask them to point in the same direction as the E so that if they're not able to recognize letters or numbers yet, they can still answer the question and we can still assess the acuity, the visual acuity in their eyes. And once we assess the visual acuity and determine is it normal or is it abnormal, then we can look to see if it's abnormal. We can look to see if lenses in front of the eyes do make a difference in improving the focus or to allowing them to see a little bit better. So we'll have you read the eye chart first, then put some lenses in front of the eyes, see if the lenses cause any improvement in the vision. How do we figure out what lenses to use? Well, there are various techniques, manual and automated, that we can use to get a kind of a baseline of a reading of what kids or adults are likely to need in their lenses and their glasses to see better. And once we get a baseline idea, then we can kind of refine it from there by saying, okay, what's better, one or two? And getting the best possible vision by kind of tweaking it by making small changes in the lenses according to a certain specified protocol in order to determine whether what combination of lenses makes you see best. A lot of people say, I hate that one or two test. What's better, one or two? Because I never know what the right answer is. And the first part of that is, well, there is no right answer. The right answer is what you feel is better or sharper or brighter or better or clearer. If you don't see a difference, then just say no difference. And the second part of that is that that's used to refine the focus of your eyes. It's not going to do any harm if you don't have exactly the right prescription. So people say, well, what if I ended up with the wrong prescription? What if I wear the wrong glasses? There's another myth. Wearing the wrong glasses can harm your eyes. And in fact, it's not true. I mean, you may get a headache by trying to focus through someone else's prescription, but wearing the wrong glasses is not going to cause any harm to the eyes. So if you don't do very well on the one or two test and you end up with a pair of glasses that's not quite as good for your eyes as it could be, not going to do any harm. So there you go. So we test glasses. We get something to start with. We get into the ballpark, and then we refine that in order to try to get the highest quality vision, best possible vision. We do one eye at a time, and then we balance the two eyes together so that we know that both eyes can work together fairly well in tandem. All right, so we'll get to some more eye myths. And, of course, we have the eye news. We'll have to get to that. And your phone calls, too. So think about what you want to ask us. Give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to reach us here at the radio studio. We'll be right back after this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With our campaign of airstrikes against these terrorists, and we're prepared...
You've heard the expression, to be a fly on the wall?
The additional American...
To know what's really going on... Check in at the top end 30 minutes past the hour as we update all that's buzzworthy in your world.
Well, I work all the time, so I don't really have time to watch the news.
Because news moves faster than a...
I got the sucker.
Nice.
To know what's going on.
I try to catch up and go what's going on.
Catch up. News Radio 830 KHVH.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes, can you see me lost?
This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes. You're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. And Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. And if you have a question about eyes, you've got me here at able to answer your calls for another half hour or so here at KHVH Radio. And you can reach us, if it's a Saturday morning, by calling 521-8383. We're happy to try to answer your phone calls. Answer your questions by phone over the air. There's also a toll-free number if you're calling from the neighbor islands. That's 1-888-565-8383. And we're happy to try to see what we can do about answering your questions. We've been going through a few eye myths over the first half of the program. And one of the eye myths that I've heard out there is that you only need an eye examination if you're having a problem with your eyes, and that's simply not true, because we pick up all the time people who come in for routine eye examinations who have problems that require treatment, and without treatment can get significantly worse and even lead to blindness in some cases. And so getting an eye examination on a regular basis is important, because often we can catch and stop conditions that could otherwise have a serious impact on your eyes and your vision over time. So check out Hawaiian Eye Center on Facebook at Hawaiian Eye Center. Follow me on Twitter. Go to Dr. Tortora on twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. And let us know what you're interested in hearing about. Give us a call here at the radio station if you'd like, 521-8383, or make an appointment at our offices during the week. There are offices in Hilo on the Big Island, in Waipahu here in West Oahu, and in Wahiwa in Central Oahu are the offices of Hawaiian Eye Center. Okay, a couple of news stories here. There's a news story here about vision loss and how vision loss may be more common in poorer parts of the country. It says here, severe vision loss is disproportionately prevalent in communities located in the southern U.S., that have high poverty levels, according to a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, report. The researchers used data from the American Community Survey to estimate the country-level prevalence of severe vision loss, defined as blindness or having serious difficulty seeing even when wearing glasses. they determined that 77% of counties in the top severe vision loss quartile were located in the South. In addition, severe vision loss was significantly correlated with poverty. Of the 437 countries in the top quartiles for both severe vision loss and poverty, 83% were located in southern states. Interesting. So, says most current surveillance activities characterize vision loss as at national and state levels. However, interventions and policy decisions to reduce the burden of vision loss and eliminate care disparities are typically developed at the local level, where there are limited data and research, the authors write. To obtain a county-level view of severe vision loss prevalence, the investigators analyzed data from the combined 2009 to 2013 surveys representing 3,143 counties. They divided the counties into quartiles based on severe vision loss prevalence and divided the counties into quartiles based on the proportion of residents living below the poverty level. Researchers then compared the prevalence of severe vision loss and poverty by U.S. Census regions. So the prevalence was highest of severe vision loss was highest in the South with 77%, followed by the West, 11%, and the Midwest, 10%, and then the Northeast was 0.3%, so very little prevalence in the Northeast of the severe vision loss. Interesting. Across all counties, the proportion of individuals living below poverty level ranged from 1.3% to 48.8%, and most of those counties, 74% of them, were located in the South, followed by the Midwest and the West, and then the Northeast would be the least number. More than half, or 55% of the counties in the top quartile for severe vision loss prevalence were also in the top quartile for poverty. So more than half were both poor and poor vision. And eight states had at least 6% of their counties in the top quartile: Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. No county in the Northeast was in the top quartile for both severe vision loss prevalence and poverty. 9% were in the West and 8% in the Midwest. The county-level correlations between severe vision loss and poverty are consistent with U.S. Census reports of lower earnings and higher poverty rates among persons with disabilities, according to the authors, noting that more than 4 million adults over age 40 in the U.S. are either blind or have vision loss, which affects activities of daily living, leads to depression, social isolation, and increases the risk for falls and injuries. Vision loss could be a consequence of poverty, reflecting a lack of access to care and lower use of preventative services, or poverty could be attributable to vision loss. The authors write, individuals with vision loss often have limited access to education or employment opportunities, which might then decrease their earning activities. So, interesting concept that poverty and severe vision loss seem to somehow be linked or related to one another, in the sense that the two seem to occur in similar parts of the country on a county-wide basis. All right, you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes. If you have a question about eyes, give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call here on Oahu. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, you can reach us toll-free at 1-888-565-8383. And we're happy to hear your questions if you have one. And it's an opportunity to basically get a free consultation without having to go into the doctor's office. So pretty cool. Let's give us a call if you have a question. We have an article here about the number of cataracts nationwide and the fact that the number of cataracts that we're likely to see over time is going to increase. Cataract numbers are on the rise. Says the recent Prevent Blindness Future of Vision Forecasting the Prevalence and Costs of Vision Problems report states that nearly 25.7 million Americans age 40 and older have cataracts. So that's 25.7 million. The number will increase by 50% to 38 million. So from 25 to 38 million by 2032 and to 45 million by the year 2050, according to a company news release. In addition, the report found that the majority of cataract patients today are women, a trend that is likely to continue. White people will continue to make up the large majority of cataract patients, but this population will level off and slightly decrease by the 2040s, Hispanics will exhibit the fastest rate of growth in cataract cases. So the organization Prevent Blindness has declared June as Cataract Awareness Month to educate the public on cataract risk factors, symptoms, treatment options, including surgery, etc. And free information is provided through its webpage at preventblindness.org or their phone number, which is 800-331-2020. And that's the organization Prevent Blindness, and they do all kinds of things studying eye disease throughout the world, and they've determined that the number or the incidence of cataracts is likely to rise significantly over the next 30 to 40 years. Why is this? Why would the rate of cataracts be rising so much? Is cataract even a disease? What is cataract? So cataract actually is a clouding of the lens of the eye. And I wouldn't characterize it as a disease because it's something that everyone gets as they get older. It's an age-related change. The lens inside the eye becomes cloudy over time. People have likened it to gray hair. You know, everyone over time, their hair starts to turn gray. You lose the ability to have pigment in your hair. And so your hair turns gray, unless you color it, of course. So only a hairdresser knows for sure, right? So the gray hair is an age-related change that is not associated with any disease process. Same thing with cataracts. You know, cataracts develop with everyone who lives long enough. And the reason that more women have cataracts than men is because women live longer than men for the most part. And the reason that cataracts are more prevalent as you age is because it's an age-related change. So developing cataracts as you get older is a part of the normal aging process. Now, when the cataracts start to affect the vision to the point where they need to be treated, that can vary from one individual to another. And so if you may have a little beginning early cataract in your 50s, but it's not likely to really blur your vision until you're a bit older. Most people who have cataracts blurring their vision are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. We do have cataract patients that we've taken care of in their 90s and over 100, but those are not as common. Most people have had their cataracts treated already by the time they get to be 90 because it does tend to develop and start to affect the vision prior to that. I have a few patients in their 90s who have still not yet had their cataracts removed, most of those because they didn't want to. Because they don't have a lot of demanding visual needs. They don't drive and they don't have reasons that they object to having poor vision or declining vision over time. So they don't mind the fact that the cataract is blurring the vision some. But over time, the cataract continues to get gradually worse. It is something that is a gradual progressive issue. And so it's not likely to get better by itself. And so the cataract eventually is going to need to be treated. When your cataract's treated, what do? Well, we remove a cataract with a short, painless surgical procedure. Surgery is needed to remove a cataract because the cataract or the cloudy lens is actually inside your eye and light has to pass through that cloudy lens. And if that lens remains cloudy, it continues to blur the vision. You just don't see as well as you used to, and that cataract needs to be corrected. So surgery is done, cataract's removed. Now, the cataract is the natural lens in the eye. The lens serves a purpose in the eye. It focuses light for us. It allows us to see reasonably well without glasses for many of us. If that lens is removed, suddenly a lot of the focusing power of the eye is gone. And if you just took out the lens and didn't do anything about it, you'd be stuck wearing really thick glasses to compensate for the loss of that focusing power. And in fact, that's what used to happen. Prior to the 1970s and 80s, the cataracts were removed and no lens implant was placed in the eye because there was no such thing as a lens implant. Nowadays, we use tiny lens implants to take the place of the focusing power of the natural lens in the eye. But prior to the 1970s, this technology was not available on a widespread basis. And so people would have cataracts removed and then they'd wear thick glasses to compensate for the loss of the lens in the eye. In those days, because because vision didn't improve so well after cataract surgery all the time, cataracts were not treated as promptly or as early on as they are treated today. And the term arose that people started to say, well, let's wait until the cataract gets ripe before we treat it. So cataracts aren't fruit, so we don't wait for cataracts to get ripe. Right now, in this level of technology that we have in today's world, we remove cataracts when they start to affect or bother the vision. That's when a cataract is removed. That's when you can consider it ripe. What they meant by ripe years ago was bad enough that fixing it is likely to help. And so that's what we still mean. When it's bad enough that fixing it's likely to help, it's just that we can fix it at a much early stage now and it's likely to help because we can restore normal vision after cataract surgery for most people. And this is actually, you know, think about it, a remarkable breakthrough. When you think about cataract surgery 40 years ago, people had to wear thick glasses in their thick glasses prescription, which caused distortion of the vision. It made their eyes look big and funny looking because they were looking through these Coke bottle glasses. And it made, or they had to struggle with wearing contact lenses, which was the other way to correct the eyes and the vision. Once we learned how to put lens implants in the eye in a reliable, safe, and effective way, then that changed the world of people who had cataract surgery because all of a sudden you could go from having a cataract blurring your vision to suddenly having vision restored to its how it was, you know, years ago. It's a significant improvement. And with the advent of better and better lens implants that now can correct distance vision and near vision as well, so give you a range of vision, we're even able to give many people a vision independent of glasses for most of the things that they do following cataract surgery. So tremendous advances have been made. This is from a medical standpoint. This is a great era to live in, I think, and it's likely to continue to get better. I was watching a presentation this past weekend about things that can be done in the heart. With little catheters that run up through a vein in your leg. So you don't have to open up your chest anymore to access the heart, to put a new valve in the heart or to open up the coronary arteries. They can do that right through a little incision in your leg and run a little special catheter up through the blood vessels and then into the heart and do heart surgery that way. So quite amazing what's happening in medicine these days. And eye surgery is no exception. We now have lasers that help us with cataract surgery to try to enhance the outcome. We call laser-assisted cataract surgery, which is the next new great thing. And so all kinds of things. And listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, you stay posted on the latest. We'll be right back after this break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15-20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long?
This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes. You're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, broadcast here on KHVH, 8:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings and rebroadcast on a sister station on Saturday evenings. But you can also find us online at HawaiianEye.com and subscribe to a podcast of our program. If you go to the HawaiianEye.com website, click on the Hawaiian Eye Show link at the top of the page, you'll get to a page which gives you the option to listen to previous programs or to subscribe to a podcast. So if you find the content of this program interesting and you want to continue to listen on a regular basis, why don't you check out the podcast and go ahead and listen to some previous programs if you like. You can download them and listen to them at your leisure. We've got an article here about generic drugs and the fact that costs are changing for generic drugs. And I think this is actually kind of an interesting thing because we think of one of the issues with healthcare and rising costs having to do with the cost of drugs. And so we think that generic drugs are the solution. If you get generic drugs, it should help reduce the cost of medicines and the cost of healthcare in general. But the drug companies still want to make money, so they're finding ways to keep generic drugs expensive. And we'll get to this article in a minute. Before we do, though, I want to go to the phones. We've got a caller standing by. We've got Lana and Aya. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi, doctor. Thank you for taking my call. You know, a while ago, I heard, you know, we've been listening to the news about Ebola, right? And then they said they had it under control. And all of a sudden, I heard top of the news, and only once, because I was shocked to hear it. They said that they found a patient that he had Ebola, but he was cured, but he had it in his eye. Is that a fact?
Yes, actually, about 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we read that story here on this program. It was a physician who was treating patients in Africa. He contracted Ebola. He came back to this country for treatment. He was effectively treated for Ebola, but then he continued to develop significant eye problems after he was cured or he was treated or they thought the Ebola was gone. And when they actually looked at fluid from inside his eye, they found that there was actually still active Ebola virus inside the eye. Now, that man, that doctor, that patient was not contagious to the general world because the stuff that's in your eye is in your eye. It doesn't come out. You can't, touch what's inside someone's eye.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm so glad I called because you confirmed and at least now I understand the story. Because it went by so fast, and, you know, media, they just tell you so much, right?
Right. They limit what they tell you. But, yeah, but so it's not contagious, but the bottom line from the story was that it can persist in some parts of our bodies sort of hidden away where it's not going to be passed on to someone else or cause,
That doctor is okay, though. I mean...
Yeah, he was treated for it, and they were able to bring it under control.
Oh, that's good to hear. Oh, thank you for the info.
Okay, well, thanks for bringing that up again.
By the way, I want to congratulate Dr. John Cobo. I mean, I saw your article, and you, our doctor in the house in midweek, the one that oversees the eye care missions, and he won an award.
Yes, he's got all kinds of eye care missions going to places in Southeast Asia and the South Pacific since he stopped practicing eye care and left that to me. He's been doing all kinds of interesting work with populations here in Hawaii and in the South Pacific where they really need eye care.
Yeah, I kind of miss him because I go way back when he first came on the radio, you know. So, but I mean, it's not that I don't appreciate you, you know.
Okay, yeah, well, we'll see if we can.
I just wanted to mention it because I always, once in a while, I think of him, I wish him well, and, you know, because he's kind of low-key, right? And we don't know what's going on until we read an article or, you know, you talk about it. And I don't listen every Saturday. I try to listen as much as I can because it's informative, especially I'm a young senior.
Okay.
So,
well, you've given me a good idea. Maybe what I'll do is get Dr. Corboy on the radio show sometime in the future to talk about some of the things he's doing.
Yeah,
if you catch it.
Great. Yeah. As a guest.
Yeah, as a guest.
You know,
that'd be fun.
Yeah, he's so great and he looks so cute. I mean, he's listening to your show. I mean, I know when you first came on board too, so. And you got that much older, right?
Well, we all get older as time goes on, right? All right. Well, thanks so much for your call,
okay.
Lana.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Okay.
So the That's a good idea. Let's get Dr. Corboy on one time to talk about some of his mission work that he's doing. Well, we've got Andrew standing by on Kauai. Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having the program. I'm 68, going to be 69 in about 10 days. I went to my optometrist. I got cataracts, and the one especially in my right eye is very thick. She said she couldn't even see through it. I still can read. I still can see, but like, watching TV, little stuff on the bottom is gone. And so the optometrist here said probably would need the surgery maybe within a year or 2 years. I'm just wondering, should I get it done now or wait?
So usually I recommend having cataracts treated when they're interfering with things you want to do or need to do. So the typical symptoms that drive people to have cataracts treated have to do with night vision. So if you go out at night and you can't see to drive as well as you'd like to, or the glare
right,
from oncoming headlights.
That was the first symptom.
Is a problem, yeah. And if you do that, if you need to drive at night or you want to drive at night, then that would be a good reason to have the cataract treated. If you feel like there are other things, you're watching TV and you're having trouble figuring out one character from another because their faces aren't clear, or you can't read the subtitles and you like to watch it with the closed captions, certainly that would be a reason to go treat it. So I think if the cataract is affecting your vision in a way that's significant to you, that's when you ought to have it taken care of.
Okay. And another question, what's ballpark the cost of a cataract surgery?
Well, most cataract surgery is covered by insurance, but most doctors also offer options to try to correct your vision at the time of cataract surgery. So there's options to use what we call laser-assisted cataract surgery to help correct distance vision and use the precision of a laser to help with the performance of the procedure. There's multifocal correction where we can correct distance and near vision. Those things tend to cost extra, but the standard cataract removal is generally covered by insurance, so it depends on what your normal surgical copayment is for your insurance plan, and your insurance should be able to give you that information.
Oh, good. I'll call them and see. And you don't have any, you're only in Honolulu, correct?
Yeah, we have offices on Oahu, in Waipahu, and in Oahu.
Okay. Oh, good. But there are friend, I own a house in Waihiwa, so it worked out perfect.
Well, that'd be nice. I'd be happy to see you. There's also some excellent ophthalmologists on Kauai as well.
Okay, thank you very much, and God bless. You guys do a wonderful job. I will try to listen every Saturday.
Okay, well, thanks for the confidence, and good luck with your cataracts.
Thank you.
Aloha. So we've been here now for an hour talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Malia here on her last day for helping out here in the studio, dealing with those phone callers. And I'd like to say thanks to all the phone callers and the listeners for making the show work through the calls and through the email. And if you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. If you learned something new, listen again next week. And if you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. We can answer those questions over the air. Don't forget to check out our website at hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter by going to @DrTortora, DrTortora. We can also check us out on Facebook. We're at Hawaiian Eye Center. And like us on Facebook, and you can get some access to interesting information. Now, it's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for us. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in Central Oahu and Hilo on the Big Island. Thanks for listening. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
With intelligent talk about stuff that matters, then you're in the right place.
I am so glad you have pointed this out.
KHBH, Honolulu.